this is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Mike and Scott. This story is from our episode, The Magic of Energy. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts. We can't create energy, but we've learned how to store it so we can use it whenever we need it, no matter where we are. So many of the devices we use all day, every day, get their energy from batteries.
I'm just personally in awe of them and how they've transformed the way society uses energy.
Lynn Trahey is a material scientist at Argonne National Laboratory in Illinois.
You know, even my little kids, their early words are batteries, you know, because they know that batteries make things, make noises, and make pretty colors.
Batteries make the magic happen, but once again, it's not actual magic. It takes a lot of engineering to make it work, and batteries can become a bit of an Achilles heel in things that otherwise work great. Alan Yu has one such example.
When the Nissan Leaf came out about 10 years ago, it was the only mass-market electric car. Now, many Nissan Leaf owners want to replace one specific part.
It's the search for the Holy Grail, I think.
That's Mike Lawrence from Virginia talking about the battery in his family's silver Nissan Leaf. He and his wife Karen bought the car almost a decade ago.
And I absolutely fell in love with it.
They chose the car because they care about the environment. They say overall, the car has aged well.
It is not a pain in the neck because without a motor and the oil change, which we do not have to do because there ain't none, and, you know, other things, it rarely goes in for service beyond a checkup.
Everything except the battery.
The car, which started out with mileage occasionally even over 100, was deteriorating fairly quickly after we passed about the 5 or 6 year mark. We have been searching high and low for a new battery.
As a battery gets older, it degrades and stores less energy. And just like an old smartphone, it needs to be charged much more frequently. Now, Karen can only drive about 45 miles. They could buy a new battery from Nissan, but that would cost $8,000, more than the car is worth at this point.
We have, you know, joined the Facebook groups trying to learn about resources that we could find more palatable financially to do this.
There is a very active Facebook group dedicated to this battery. I talked to several Nissan Leaf owners, and they all have the same problem. They love the car. They just wish they could get a new battery for it that did not cost so much.
Really suits my needs for, you know, I don't feel like I'm driving a 10-year-old car at any time. About 2 years ago, as the winter approached, I knew that my Leaf was going to have a hard time, especially using heat and such in the wintertime to get me to work, that I started the hunt looking for basically a replacement battery pack. That's the big problem, is it's very hard to source used high-capacity battery packs.
The one issue, though, being in Arizona and being that the Nissan Leaf, they don't have really a battery cooling. Within 2 years, it got pretty heavy battery degradation.
Very common with a Leaf is that, you know, you'll replace the tires, you'll replace the windshield wipers, you'll replace the cabin air filter, and that's it. You know, they're indestructible, so people would like the batteries to last longer.
That was Tony Newell in Kentucky, John Ryan in Arizona, and Larry Kaplan in California. There is a whole gray market for these batteries. Some people buy wrecked Nissan Leafs, salvage the battery, and bring the rest of the car back to a junkyard. I asked Nissan for comment, and they could not schedule an interview. So how did we get to the point of an electric car battery being a problem in an otherwise great car? The first thing you should know is that the battery, which looks like a big silver rectangle, is typically the most expensive part of an electric car. It can cost as much as a third of the entire car. Electric cars use lithium-ion batteries, which is relatively recent technology compared to most other things in the car. Lithium-ion batteries won three scientists the 2019 Nobel Prize in Chemistry. On a very simple level, lithium-ion batteries work by lithium ions going back and forth in a liquid, in and out of the positive and negative ends of a battery. There is some liquid inside the batteries, but scientists say please do not cut open your batteries at home to confirm this. Lithium ions going one direction means charging the battery, storing energy. Going the other way means discharging the battery, converting the stored energy into electricity that you can use to power, say, a car. It's the same kind of battery that powers a smartphone or a laptop computer, but it is a lot more complicated than just taking a bunch of those batteries and putting them in a car. Jean Berdachevsky knows this very well, because that is exactly what he did.
Ripping out laptop cells, super gluing them together, putting some metal plates on the positive and negative side, and stuffing them in a car.
In the early 2000s, he was an undergrad at Stanford. At that time, most people did not really care about batteries.
Back in the early 2000s, batteries were regarded as uninteresting. They were an afterthought in many respects. You know, we think about the modern portable electronics industry, and we talk about it as being an industry that was revolutionized by semiconductors. You know, everything is about Intel and the microchip. And obviously, display technology played a really important role, 3G, 4G for cellular. But people sort of miss that the battery played just an equally important role.
As part of a class project, Gene realized, with lithium-ion batteries getting cheaper, you could buy enough of them to build a car that could run for 300 miles on one charge and still make money selling the cars. Then he heard about a little startup doing exactly that and became the seventh person to join this company called Tesla. There, they had to come up with better batteries for this new generation of cars. Super gluing laptop batteries together in the car did not work.
Every now and then, a manufacturing defect could cause a lithium-ion cell to spontaneously, more or less, go into thermal runaway. And that the frequency of those occurrences were about 1 in a million to 1 in 10 million cells at the time, is what we were told. But if you calculated the fact that each car had about 7,000 cells, it meant that one out of about 1,000 cars would at some point in its life spontaneously catch fire, which is an absolutely unacceptable. You know, we basically induced a failure in one of the cells in a small module we had built, a small prototype module, just to see what the event would look like in real life. And we did this late after hours in the parking lot, thinking we'll see a small fire. And what happened was, these cells not only caught fire, but proceeded to launch themselves out of the module and fly 30, 40 feet in the air like little rockets. And once we induced failure in one, it propagated to another, which propagated to two more and four more. And it became a little mini fireworks show, which was really the moment we said, okay, we got to solve this or there is no Tesla.
They stopped everything they were doing to fix this battery problem. It took them 6 months. Gene told me the non-trade secret version of what they did. They engineered around the problem to spread the heat around. They solved the problem in late 2005. And most likely, you already know that Tesla survived. Gene is still interested in batteries. He left Tesla to start his own company, Sila Nano, to advance battery technology even further. His company is working on a more powerful battery, along with the German car manufacturer Daimler, the company behind Mercedes-Benz. Battery technology is now worth a lot of money. More people want electric cars now, and California even announced the plan to stop selling new gas-powered cars by 2035. Which means companies will have to make and sell a lot more lithium-ion batteries. Scientists who study batteries are also in demand because there are still many questions to answer.
The work I do on batteries, it's certainly something that's very accessible to my friends and family, and they now share all of their battery related misadventures with me.
Yulia Prager is a chemical engineer at Sandia National Laboratories, based in New Mexico.
I had a friend who told me about her experience working with a computer that had a bulging trackpad. And she worked on that computer with a bulging trackpad for months. And I'm assuming it was bulging because the battery had expanded so substantially. And to her, you know, it was not a cause of concern for months. Whereas when I heard that stutter, I thought, oh my gosh, I'm glad that she's okay.
That is bad. One thing that could happen is the expansion leads to a hole in the battery, which could lead to a fire. Her friend needed a new battery. Yulia works on batteries as part of research on power grid level storage, how to store energy on a large scale. And one of the things she studies relates to the Nissan Leaf battery problem, the fact that these batteries degrade as they get older. To simplify things a lot, Yulia explains the degradation can come from unwanted reactions that happen inside the battery and can produce gas. The gas can make some batteries expand, thus the bulging trackpad that Yulia's friend saw. And that is just one of the ways that batteries can degrade over time.
There's a lot of research to minimize that, but it's avoiding entirely is just not possible.
So Yulia is studying how long can people keep using a battery once they start degrading, which actually brings us back to the Nissan Leaf battery. Some Leaf owners have figured out that their old batteries might not hold enough charge to drive long distances, but they could use it as home energy storage in the future.
That technology is actually, in my opinion, really perfect for the Nissan Leaf.
Tony New in Kentucky wanted to replace a degrading Nissan Leaf battery, and he ended up buying 5 wrecked Nissan Leafs in his quest. He bought all those cars at a fraction of the cost of buying a new battery from Nissan directly. He says the Nissan Leaf comes with a charger that can go in both directions. It can store energy in the car battery, but it can also take the energy out to power something else.
I'm kind of holding onto those cars, even the older battery packs, thinking that one day there's going to be an interface that I can literally plug into my house and plug in my car. And with a solar panel, you know, I could be charging those batteries up. And then when I needed power and there's no sun or it's cold out or whichever, you know, those cars provide all my energy and you would be totally self-sufficient.
It's not as much of a dream as one might think. Tesla makes a giant battery designed for homes called a Powerwall. One of those stores a fraction of the energy that Tony's collection of wrecked Nissan Leaf batteries can store, and costs a lot more. There's a mechanical engineer in Arizona who made a business out of this. He salvages old Nissan Leaf batteries, charges them with solar panels, and uses them as a power source for people who live in vans and RVs. Nissan itself partners with a commercial energy storage company to repurpose and reuse old Leaf batteries.
That was Alan Yu reporting.